Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No doubt.
That they're going to try to, you know, break down.
No doubt.
There'll always be some form of sign stealing in baseball.
Rob Doster is going to join us on college basketball at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis, go around the country a little bit, some of these jobs that may or may not come open. Lots to get to with Rob Doster. We'll do that at 1:25. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life with zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people just like you. I know after John and I are done with a show, we've hit a little bit of a wall, and research shows that more than 70% of us hit a wall after lunch. Let a 5-Hour Energy shot be just the thing you need to leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. And you could be on the go to an exciting tropical paradise. Just visit 5hewin.com. That's the number 5hewin.com.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, welcoming you to exceptional service. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852 to get your best prices of the year now that the holidays are behind us.
The live table game action at Southland is hot every day of the week. But now on Sundays, it's even hotter. With every hand, every roll, every live table game, you could be on a hot seat every Sunday at Southland. It's simple. You play your favorite live table game from 3 to 8 p.m. every Sunday, and you could win up to $500 just for being there. It's Table Game Hot Seat Sundays, now at Southland Casino. Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Heard of the job? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
20 ribeyes for $30 at 3 locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare 5-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon-wrapped fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. 3 locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Enjoy authentic family recipes with a modern Sicilian twist with today's Perks Deal. Half off $50 gift cards to Strano by Chef Josh. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
There might think that when an investor says they want to buy your home for cash, that the offer that's coming is going to leave a lot to be desired, that it's not going to be a good one. Well, that is not the case with the investor that the Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts is working with. So you might be thinking about listing your home, and I don't know, let's say you want $180,000 for it. Well, the chances are your offer from the investor would most likely be in the $175,000 range. And that's all without the hassle of having to get it ready to go on the market, the expense of all those needed repairs, appraisal, closing cost assistance, and more. So you could actually be making more from your home with the investor offer from the Live Love Memphis Group Remax Expert.
So if you're thinking of selling your home that's not yet on the market in Shelby County or in DeSoto County, they'd love to hear from you. All you got to do is send your address. It's really easy. And then email to investor@livelovememphis.com. That team over at Live Love Memphis Group at Remax Expert is going to do a free analysis. There is no obligation to sell. Don't worry. Jennifer and them not going to be calling you every day, hassling you to sell. The Live Love Memphis Group, again, at Remax Experts, simply going to tell you what the investor will pay. It's up to you to decide what you do from there. You could just sit on that knowledge of knowing what the investor will pay, or you could go ahead and decide to start the process of selling. See how much cash you could get for your home today by emailing your home address again to investor@livelovememphis.com.
Jason?
Yes.
We have a football schedule. We have a University of Memphis football schedule now.
Ooh-wee.
There is only one schedule. There is only one schedule I'm looking more forward to than this one, and that is the Oakland Raiders 2020 schedule, which I believe will not come out. The Las Vegas Raiders. It's going to take you some time.
Thank you.
Like Jason in San Diego.
I ain't the only one struggling with that one.
It's just going to take me some time. But the Vegas Raiders, I'm looking forward to their 2020 because that first Thursday night game, gone. Peace. Not going to see me on that Thursday. I'm going to Vegas. But I'm looking forward to this Memphis football season because obviously it is the first for first-year coach Ryan Silverfield, the successor of Mike Norvell. We now know the full schedule. I'll just go through it here really quickly. They open against Arkansas State on September the 5th. That's a dub, fool. September the 12th at Purdue. I don't know. Is Purdue good? Is Jeff Brohm still there? I don't know if they're good or not. It's at Purdue though. That's a Big Ten team. That's going to be a tough one. You know.
Yeah, road game at Purdue. You're going to be an underdog in that game.
Yeah. So that's going to be a tough one. Probably an L. But I mean, you got the talent. But that's probably an L. Then you're back home against Houston on September the 19th. Then you're at San Antonio for some godforsaken reason.
They were 4-8 last year, fifth in the Big Ten. Purdue under Brohm.
Yeah, I don't know what they have coming back or what, but. Can anybody explain to me why Memphis is playing San Antonio? I'm totally open. Jonah,
Texas, San Antonio.
Jonah, if you're listening, bro, I'm gonna need you to write a column explaining why Memphis is playing a road game at San Antonio. This one's a little bizarre to me. But that's happening September the 26th.
It was like that South Alabama home and thing.
I don't understand that either.
It's the same.
That makes no damn sense to me either.
Weird. Yeah.
Then they're at SMU October the 1st. They come home. October the 16th against UCF, and they've got Temple at home. Halloween, they're going to be at Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's rough right there.
Spooky. Then they have South Florida at home on the 7th, at Navy the 14th. UT Martin is late in the year, which I'm sure will be good for them, November 21st. And then they close their season at Tulane. So kind of a weirdly structured schedule, I would say, Jason. But certainly there are some tough stretches in there. I mean,
I know Houston won't have Derek King, and, you know, he's transferred down there like we all thought. But
it is here at least.
That one's here. Then you get, as John said, that San Antonio game. It really starts for me on the 1st is where it turns up on October 1st. That, you know, you got to travel to SMU. That can be a tough spot. It was this year. UCF, you know what they represent. Yes, it's back here, but it's still UCF. Temple, always tough. Then you're at Cincinnati. South Florida here, that's a win, but then you're back at Navy. That stretch right there, starting with October 1st, really all the way through till November 14th, is tough, and particularly for a first-time head coach like Ryan Silverfield is. Now, I'm not saying those games aren't winnable. Obviously, with what's back for Memphis, your best passer in terms of efficiency from a conference standpoint's back. Your leading rusher's back. Your leading receiver's back. So you're ready to go in there, and I think Memphis will be, you know, among the favorites, if not the favorite. I've been surprised at how many have just crowned Cincinnati and Fickell. I suppose they're next up and they're due, but you did beat them twice, and you've got much back. I mean, much of your team is back. That said, I'm not going to, you know, go back and forth on them. You want to pick Cincy as the favorite, that's fine with me. But Memphis will be up there. There's no question about it. But that said, it's tough from October 1st to November 14th. And anytime you've got to go to Navy and go to Cincy, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, so, it's, you know, all the big games, though, like they're – pretty much, I mean, they're you're out of the big games before.
I mean,
November.
I would imagine Purdue coming off a 4-8 and a bad, you know, the seat that they're gonna be, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's so down that the Tigers won't be underdogs. But I gotta imagine on a on a, again, a Power 5 field on the road, you're going to be an underdog in that game. So either way, you'll have your work cut out for you physically.
I put the bat signal out for Jonah Jordan, and
you're talking about why they're playing that San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get an explanation here soon because he did just hit me up. So I'm hoping to get some kind of an explanation as to why Memphis is on the road at UTSA. Even if you get a return game, don't get it. Don't understand it. I mean, these non-conference games are precious. They're precious, man. What's UTSA going to do for? I guess just an easy dub. I mean, but it's on the road. That's what I don't get. So I don't understand. If you're going to do a bye game, do it in Memphis, you know?
Well, this was scheduled with the old athletic director, too, right?
I'm sure it was.
That's part of it because he's the same guy that did the South Alabama home and away thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it was scheduled.
Purdue is a projected L. They're 36th in the FPI for 2020.
These games are scheduled 15 years in advance, so I certainly understand that it was done, you know, prior to this year. But I'm just trying to figure out, what the idea there was I'm assuming it's a home and home.
Purdue's going to be good next year.
What's a reasonable record, Jason? That's the overarching question here for this schedule is what's a reasonable record in your mind? Eight wins?
I think asking for double digit wins in Silverfield's first season would be a dream in terms of keeping the consistency going, but that's asking those expectations probably a little high. Again, even with what you've got back, I don't know though. Again, I'm not going to back off. I think they'll be one of the favorites in the AAC, so I'd still put you around 9 and flirting with 10, flirting with double digits. Again, having to go to Navy, go to Cincinnati, that could be two L's right there. Those programs, they're on their own. Fickle's back. You know, Coach Ken is back. That doesn't change. So those could very well be L's. UCF at home could be an L. That said, I bet he's at 8-9 wins next year.
I mean, if that's the case, if you do get to 8 or 9, I mean, that's a – great first year, you know. That's a great first year for Ryan Silverville, don't you think? I mean, that's what more can you really reasonably ask for, you know, from a first year head coach? 8-9 wins.
I don't think you could ask for. I mean, again, some schools would be in a position where you don't know what you're getting after Mike Norvell when your guy leaves. Memphis is in a position where they trusted that they've got a special guy, obviously already on staff in Silverfield. So yes, if you could get 8-9 in the first season, John, I think it'd be great success if you're Memphis in terms of keeping this thing going, which is the goal. To not let it fall back down, to sort of keep it and keep building on it.
Yeah, and the question would be where would that put you in terms of the race in the American? I'm not sure. It's a good schedule because you get UCF here at home, you get Temple here at home.
I mean, Malcolm Perry's gone.
Houston at home.
Navy, so that's going to hurt them. He's got to find another guy to play quarterback, and we know, you know, having the right guy at quarterback is so huge to Navy's success. So I would think, again, I'm not putting a Navy ahead of Memphis. Most folks are going to have UCF there every year. I think Cincinnati probably deserves to be up there. But there aren't many teams, especially now that Houston doesn't have Derek King, that you can put above Memphis. I think those are the three teams that you'd have right there.
ESPN on this FPI, this is 2020 FPI analysis, so you can take with that what you will. They're right there with Navy in the 50s is what they've got them. Houston, they've got a little bit above. They've got Cincinnati at 40. Middle of the pack is where they've kind of got him.
Yeah. So, Jonah has responded to me. He says there are three theories about this game with UTSA.
Oh, okay.
They were considered an up and coming program at one point, but that went sideways. They want to recruit down there, and beating them by 109 points may help, which is why they play Georgia State. And the person making the schedules was buddies with the AD. So I guess that would make sense. I don't know who the AD at San Antonio is or was at the time, but yeah, Mike Brewer is listening and he says Bowen scheduled UTSA. He got us home and homes with Troy and North Texas some years down the road. Now North Texas is actually not a bad home and home because North Texas is actually a pretty good football program.
But we know the athletic director there too, though.
We do. Yes, that's certainly the connection there. But North Texas is actually North Texas is actually respectable, you know? I mean,
well, it's what I guess you thought that San Antonio was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, North Texas, I mean, did you beat North Texas in that bowl many moons ago, or did you lose to North Texas? I can't remember which, I think Memphis might have beaten North Texas in that bowl.
Yeah.
It was their first one in a long time, wasn't it? Wasn't it the New Orleans Bowl?
New Orleans Bowl. I'm fairly sure Tommy West won that one.
Yeah, I think he did.
I had the city on its ear.
That was a great time, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't hate the North Texas home and home. I mean, it's in Texas, and they're actually not bad. But yeah, I mean, the UTSA one just makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But at any rate, look, I mean, it's a schedule that Memphis should be able to get through pretty well and pretty nicely navigate. I mean, there are some tough stretches in there, but, you know, I mean.
27-17, old Memphis handled a Daryl Dickey-coached North Texas squad, you'll remember. I believe we were on Highland watching that game. There were watch parties for that game, New Orleans Bowl.
It's a big one, yeah.
I mean, it was your first time back in years, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe since the 70s, if I'm not wrong. I remember was reading old Phil Stukenberg stories back then. But, yeah, man, guess who hit a field goal? Several field goals. What looked like he had an end of the scoring. There you go. There was your kicker. A guy who probably going to be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah. Memphis? Memphis Hall of Fame?
Well, definitely the Memphis. I'm talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
That's a good case for next Memphis player to make the Hall of Fame. He's your best case.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Okay, so we had Evan Daniels on the show just a few minutes ago when we were obviously asking about Musa Cisse, who is the top 10 player here in the class of 2021. And what was interesting is it sounded like sort of from Evan that if he had to say right now, if he had to guess, if he had to sort of put a stamp on it right now, he would say Musa ends up in the class of 2020, which is obviously good news.
It would be huge news if it happens and becomes official.
Yeah, it's good news for Memphis because you have to feel like Memphis is in a great spot for Musa. I mean, he's in Memphis, and as a result of that, like, Memphis is going to have a great shot with him. I believe he's playing for Team Thad in the summer. Like, I think Moose is with Team Thad.
I think that's a done deal.
Yeah.
You need to ask.
So that's certainly it would be a positive
development.
They'll
have him, won't have Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah, Kennedy Chandler is staying with Mocan, which, again, we've been talking about.
You won a national title with them.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to stay.
That's, you would rather him have been with Team Thad, though. Like,
of course, you
want Kennedy Chandler to be with a Memphis-based AAU team, and he's just not, you know, and that's. I think that's sort of symptomatic of the whole kind of deal there, right? Like, it very likely he's going to go somewhere else for college, I think, at this point.
Do you remember when James Wiseman almost literally when he got off the plane, he had Mark Giannotto asking him about why he's here?
Yep.
Has anyone done that with Musa?
Well, I wrote a piece on it when he moved, and the best answer I could get was the IB program at Lausanne. So
what's that program?
The international sort of whatever, baccalaureate or whatever, however you say it. Yeah, that's not offered. There's some way it's offered at Lausanne that it's not offered throughout the world. Like maybe it's as I can't remember. I think I can refer to it. But the IB program was the answer that I got. Which, do you believe that or not? That's up to you. Like that, but that's just what I was told. So. You know, it's like he didn't move down here to, you know, I don't think he moved down here to play for a certain coach or anything like that.
Again,
right?
Because in Wiseman's case, it was to play for Penny and to play for East. And even in Wiseman's case, with even the prospect that he was, you could make a case that in AAA basketball, Memphis, Tennessee, you know, he'd actually be going against certainly some good coaches, some good players. We know about Faraji at Whitehaven. They had their battles. Like, you're facing some decent competition. Musa Cisse is in the smallest private school division you can be in. In Memphis, and yes, Lausanne's got the, you know, academically what he needs, I suppose, but
yeah.
The fact that, you know, who he's playing against, it's not them that are making him better. Let's put it that way. So, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, here's what Marvis Davis, who's the coach at Lausanne, told me back in September. Okay, Musa needed, with us being an international school, we had some things to offer him educationally. That's what drove this. It's great that there's the basketball benefit, but this was an academic move. It's about us having success with international guys. Scala Bissier graduated from here. Marc Gasol went here and played here. So Musa is not from the United States of America, right? And so the idea here, at least as it was put to me, as you just heard, is that, hey, we've had success with basketball players who weren't born in the USA, but who came to the USA, acclimated very well, went on to have professional careers and have great lives after they left Lausanne. So whether you subscribe to that, whether you don't, whether you raise an eyebrow to it, whether you don't.
Well, Scala didn't play.
Scala did not play.
I realize academically.
Well, that, but that wasn't.
But Scala was just fine academically, right, as things already
right,
were.
Right, that's true.
Scala didn't play at Lausanne.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
Come on.
It's a little bit of a stretch to claim Scala. But listen, that's their prerogative, man. It's their prerogative. He did graduate from Lausanne. So I can understand.
He did.
I can understand why you would claim
that. I've listened to him speak highly of his time there.
Yeah, he didn't graduate from Reach Your Dream Prep. I don't think they had diplomas to hand out over there. You know, they ever, like, I think they did play some tournaments. Like, they went to, you know, I don't know. I think they had, like, five players. And
why do you give Gerald credit for that?
Man, I.
It was actually some games and maybe some classes.
They had, like, I don't think they had any classes. They definitely did not have any classes, bro. Mm-hmm. Movie time, maybe. They roll out the TV. But I definitely do not believe there were any coursework offerings over there.
Well, what I'm getting at is that with Evan Daniels saying that right now, and again, you just saw him write about him, he just interviewed him, saying he feels like it's likely right now that Musa would reclassify. I think it changes things completely for Memphis in terms of where you're standing. Right, like right now, all your hopes are pinned on Greg Brown and Jalen Green. I mean, it's the two names we've been saying it feels like almost for a year now, because you're talking about the spring class they could get last year. You're saying what they could get because Jalen Green, remember, was already doing visits. So we've been talking about him for a long time. But the idea that you could possibly have another top 10, and this is a national guy. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not just talking about top 10 in the state here. You're talking about top 10 in the country, best shot blocker in the country, according to Evan Daniels. The fact that you could get him this early, you know, again, for as many layers as there's going on with Memphis right now, we've laid out a few of them here last few days with Mike, and you saw him written about in Pete Thamel. We know how tightly involved he is with the guys that they're on. If there was movement there, you got Cisse that would be another top 10 national guy that you could get. I mean, again, that in terms of you're looking for reasons to be encouraged, right, that you can sustain this level of recruiting, Penny Hardaway can keep it going, possibly even without Mike Miller, then, yeah, you have to be super encouraged that there's a possibility of this. And in some case, I guess Evan Daniels even thinks it's likely. So good news. I would imagine for Memphis.
Yeah. All right. We will come back. Rob Doster is going to join us. We'll talk to him about his thoughts on Memphis basketball. We'll talk to him about college basketball. Maybe some jobs could come open. Lots to get to with Rob Doster. He'll join us on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Head on over to Frontier Western Store for their famous February sale. This is Frontier's biggest sale of the year, and it's time to save big on boots and apparel. All men's jeans are now on sale. Ariat denim, $10 off. Wrangler and Carhartt pants, $5 off. Select styles marked down even more, up to half price. There's huge savings on Carhartt shirts as well. Select clearance shirts and outerwear up to 50% off. Ariat shirts and jackets discounted as well. Hurry in for best selection. Women's t-shirts by Simply Southern, Girly Girl, and Puppy Love as low as $10. Frontier has markdowns in the boot room as well. Hundreds of boots by Double H, Rocky, Durango, and Ariat now priced to move to make room for new spring arrivals. Stop by Frontier today and grab your next pair of dress or work boots. It's the famous February sale at Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
You've got a car to sell, so you start thinking, what, this is going to be fun? Ha! You're really thinking, what a pain. It's going to take forever. I'm going to have to haggle with dealers or handle everything myself.
It doesn't have to be that way. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a much better way to go. Hi, I'm John Clay Wolf, and working with my company, GiveMeTheVIN.com is simple, fast, and I guarantee you more money for your car. Stop placing your own ads. Stop letting dealerships rob your trade-in, and quit wasting time standing around at CarMax. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and give it a try. Just punch in your VIN number or plate number, post a few pics, and presto, you get an offer for your vehicle within seconds, and I give you more money guaranteed, or I send you a check for $100. This is smart, new, easy way to sell your vehicle for more money, and we'll come pick it up at your house or office. Take a couple of minutes and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com now.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your
Sprintern here.
And Paul.
Everyone is trying to tell you how you can spend your tax refund.
At Sprint, we're doing things differently. We're saying, keep it.
Exactly, because now you can get the amazing iPhone 11 with the all-new dual camera system with ultra-wide for $0 a month when you trade in your iPhone 6S or newer.
In any condition.
Seriously, in any condition.
That's right. Keep your tax refund and get the amazing iPhone 11. And because Sprint likes doing things differently, they're offering a 100% total satisfaction guarantee. While I think their network and savings are great, you don't just have to take my word for it. Try it out and see for yourself.
What a way to take it to 11.
Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today. iPhone 11 64 gigabytes, $0 a month after $29.17 a month. Credit apply within two bills. Requires unlocked trade-in, 18-month lease, new line of service, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes tax, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply. Guarantee applies to new lines of service within 30 days.
For the best summer ever, visit the 57th annual Mid-South Sports Boat and RV Show, February 21st through 23rd at the Agri Center. Make this a summer to remember with a brand new boat or RV. Premier dealers showcasing the newest selection of ski boats, pontoons, fishing boats, family cruisers, and plenty of RVs, fifth wheels, bumper pulls, and more, with show specials that cannot be beat. There'll be a massive inventory of boats and RVs all under one roof, plus a great selection of wakeboards, ski gear, and your favorite water toys and more, like fishing guides, resort property, hourly seminars with pro fishermen. Register to win a kayak from Mid-South Floats. Free parking. Kids 12 and under get in free. Boating is for everyone. For more show info, go to memphisboatshow.com. That's memphisboatshow.com. Bring the whole family to the number one sports boat and RV show in Tennessee, February 21st through 23rd.
Come buy a boat at the Anchor Center.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Rob Doster covers college basketball for NBC Sports. You can also catch him on College Hoops Insiders with Jeff Goodman on Stadium, available on watchstadium.com. He joins us now. Yo, Rob, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
I think the last time we talked, man, it was all good. It was all good, I think, the last time we talked here on this show. And now, obviously, it's not all good anymore. It's kind of all bad, but whose fault that is, I guess that's kind of what we're here to adjudicate and delegate. So from where you sit, Rob, when you think about this Memphis basketball season, where it's gone wrong, who's to blame, how do you view this year that had so much promise, so much hope, that has turned now into, you got to win the AAC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I don't think that they have to win the AAC tournament to get in. You got Houston two more times. You still play at SMU, which is a quad one win. What you have to do is be able to start winning some of these close games. You know, this season, I don't think that the results, especially in the last, 2 weeks or so, really show how well this Memphis team is playing, if that makes sense. You know, you lose by two to South Florida in a game that you probably should have won, and I believe they blew a lead there. You lose at Cincinnati in a game where they blew a 10-point lead in the final six minutes, and you lose at UConn. That's two quad one win opportunities that you missed in games that were very winnable down the stretch. So I don't think that they are really all that far away, and I don't think it'll really take all that much to change some of those things around. Like, you're one possession away, basically, from beating Cincinnati in regulation, right? You're one possession away, two possessions away from winning at a UConn team that is actually starting to play a little bit better than they had in the past. And you still have two games against a top 25 team on your schedule, and not to mention Wichita State at home. So I don't think that this thing is over yet for Memphis. And I think that if they can get this thing rolling, get this thing in the right direction, and start actually winning these close games instead of losing them, they still have a chance to get in the tournament. As far as whose fault it is, I mean, DJ Jeffrey's knee, I guess. You know, I think that ends up being the difference here. Obviously, having James Wiseman would help, but I feel like James Wiseman has been out of the picture for so long.
Right.
And
yes.
We saw Memphis do some really impressive things when they didn't have him. And so I don't know how much you can really put on a team that loses their second leading scorer after they lost the guy that was their most talented player. And it's kind of hard to jive that with the reality that you might end up missing the NCAA tournament. But I don't necessarily know if there's blame to be had beyond that, if that makes sense.
No, it sounds like you're saying what I am, Rob, and I'm glad we've got that you are, but you tell me if I'm wrong. You're saying there's enough talent still out there from what you've seen
right, to and however unlikely we think it is, and John and I both do, right, to especially to get that at large. But you still think there's enough talent there to go and to get a couple of those wins and to put that together.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing Cincinnati to overtime on the road, the Cincinnati team,
it's evidence of that, right?
Around.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that evidence of that? Right.
You can go out there and you can win those games. Like, beating Houston at home is something that you can do if you can take Cincinnati to overtime on the road. Now, does that mean that this is still the Memphis team that has the ceiling to kind of get to a Final Four? Like,
no.
Like we talked about what they could do in the preseason, and I don't think that that is the case anymore. You know, you lose two of your top three players, and I don't know if there's any team that could have anywhere near the same ceiling as what they would have with those guys in the lineup. You know, James Wiseman is a difference maker. DJ Jeffries can be a difference maker when he plays well. And taking those two guys off of a roster definitely changes things with Memphis. But they've proven that they can go out there and they can scrap their way to at least be competitive to take Cincinnati to overtime on the road. So I don't think that it's over for Memphis yet. Maybe the dream of winning a national title is over, but I don't think they're getting to the NCAA tournament and maybe even getting a win in the tournament. I don't think that those things are impossible for this team at this point. They just kind of have to change the mojo a little bit.
Now
you lose three games by 11 points. That's tough. That can weigh on the psyche of a young team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think the national championship aspirations left with James Wiseman. I mean, I don't think anybody's
Final Four, national,
yeah,
all that.
I think everybody is sort of, you know, it's really only fair to lower the ceiling when the presumptive number one pick in the NBA draft leaves your team. Like, that's fair. And I don't think Memphis, I don't think anybody really held Memphis and Penny Hardaway to the same standard. I guess my thing would be, I agree, like most of this is out of Penny's control. Like, you could argue about whether there was something he could have maybe done, insulate James, whatever. I mean, but that's a totally different conversation for a different day. Most of this is out of Penny's control, except for, is it unreasonable to expect, even without James, right, and even without DJ, is it unreasonable to expect the offense to improve over the course of a season? Is it unreasonable to expect the turnover rate, the turnover margin to improve over the course? I mean, they're one of the worst in college basketball when it comes. I mean, is it unreasonable to expect, you know, Penny Hardaway to be able to fix that and improve that even without James and without DJ?
I think that it's probably fair to criticize Penny Hardaway for that. And if there's a place to knock him, it's for the fact that they are, what are they, like 176th in KenPom in offensive efficiency or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, that's definitely a problem. But this is also a team that has two freshmen and two sophomores in their backcourt. And if you look at who those freshmen are, you know, they're what? I think Boogie Ellis was like a top 25 guy, and then Damian Ball was more of like a top 100, top 150 kind of a player. Mm-hmm. Those are your two freshmen. Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax, as good as they were last season, you know, those aren't necessarily guys that you're looking at and saying, okay, they could end up being all-conference, maybe all-American players by the time that they're seniors. So you have a young backcourt that has a certain talent level where the ceiling is not necessarily as high as maybe some other programs. So you're young. You have a new head coach, and you have guys that aren't at the talent level that are probably NBA players, so to speak. I don't think that that's necessarily a shot at any of those guys. So I do think that part of it is just, you know, maybe they're not good enough. Maybe we expected a little too much out of them coming into the season and not being able to rely on the fact that, oh, you have this top three pick and you have this other five-star guy that can get you 15 or 20 on any given night. I think that probably weighs it down a little bit too. You know, I think that – do you think it's fair to say that DJ Jeffries is probably – the best guy on that roster in terms of creating his own shot?
I would say so, probably. He's probably like their best three-level scorer, yeah, like for sure.
So you take that off of the roster, and that's a huge part of what Penny does offensively, right? Like, it's not like he's out there running these, like, diagramming these sets the way that, like, a John Beilein does, right? He's kind of out there, and what they do, at least from what I've seen, is kind of let their players go out and make plays. Well, you take away the two best players on your roster, you kind of have to blow up what you wanted to do for the season in the way that you envisioned your offense being. So I do think that that's certainly played a part in it as well. You know, when you take away the one guy that can fix a bad possession on his own by going out and making a play, then you're just going to have more bad possessions that end poorly, if that makes sense.
What have you thought of Precious Achiuwa, Rob, from what you've seen him? There have been times where he looks like one of the most dominant players in college basketball. There are also times where they can barely get him the ball, and it doesn't feel like they realize he should be number one in the pecking order. Just what have you thought in terms of watching him and then in terms of his pro stock?
I love him. I absolutely love him. And honestly, this might sound weird, but I think the best thing for Precious Achiuwa has been that James Wiseman has not been there, because it's kind of forced him to play a little bit of the five role more. And to me, I think that's where his future is in the NBA, as a guy that can kind of be out there and be a little bit switchable, and you can play him as a small ball four and even as a small ball five in certain lineups, that you know you're going to get rebounding, you know you're going to get effort, you know you're going to get some rim protection. And when you put him on the perimeter against some of these bigger fives in the NBA, you know he's going to be able to take advantage of that matchup a little bit. And I think that's really what he's done this season. And honestly, I don't know if he would have been able to showcase that if James Wiseman was on the floor with him as well, because again, yep, like James, that's kind of what he does. So I think he's been a terrific college player. I don't know, like, if his ceiling is ever going to be an NBA All-Star, but I went into this year thinking, like, yeah, you know what, I think that kid might be a little bit overrated, to saying, like, he definitely has a job in the NBA. Maybe he won't be a star, but he could certainly play in the NBA and probably play in the NBA for a pretty long time if he kind of embraces what he's been doing for Memphis this year.
Yep, I agree with you completely, Rob Doss. We're on the same page. We are, of course, talking to Rob Doss, who covers college basketball for NBC Sports. Catch him on College Hoops Insider on Stadium Watch, stadium.com. Unfortunately, he does have to do it alongside Jeff Goodman. What went wrong with Michigan State coming into this year? I mean, they were sort of the presumptive pick. Everybody thought with Winston and sort of what they're bringing back, that, you know, this would be a shoe-in year for Tom Izzo at Michigan State, yet here they are. What went wrong?
Their young guys just did not develop it the way that people expect. You know, last season, I don't know how many Memphis fans are aware of who these guys are, but they had a player named Matt McQuaid, and they had a player named Kenny Goins. And what those guys did was, you know, McQuaid was able to play on the point a little bit and let Cassius play off the ball. He was a shooter, and he was a really good defender on the wing. And then they had a guy in Kenny Goins who was one of the best rebounders in the Big Ten. He played a kind of like a small ball four role. He'd step out and make a three. He was a veteran. I believe he was a fifth-year senior last year. And those two guys really were the pieces that kind of, like, glue guys, so to speak. I hate using that cliche, but that's kind of what they were. They made everything else work in that system. And if you look at the players that are playing those roles now, whether it's a Rocket Watts or a Malik Hall or a Thomas Kithier or a Marcus Bingham, those guys are nowhere near as good as what Matt McQuaid and Kenny Goin were last season for Michigan State. Like, they're not as good defensively. They don't understand where their rotations are supposed to be. They're not as good as, you know, knocking down the open shot that they actually get that Cassius creates for them. And I think the result is that it's kind of become something of a two-man team. And it turns into Cassius Winston and David Tillman. And when those guys are playing their best, they can go out and they can win a game for you on their own. But that is asking a lot for a pair of players. Like Cassius Winston, obviously, he lost his brother, and he's still dealing with the fallout of that tragedy, right, and kind of grieving. And then David Tillman just had his second child on Sunday. So he is – I have two kids, right? And I can barely function. I feel like a zombie all the time.
Yeah.
David Tillman has two kids. Is trying to be a student and trying to be a college athlete while being a husband and a father. I have no idea how he is functioning right now. I have no idea, like, how he can sleep. I don't understand it. But so their two best players, who they rely on for so much, have so much other stuff going on that it does kind of feel a little bit like they've been they're almost spread too thin, if that makes sense. So it's been a weird year for Michigan State. But I'll tell you this much, man. I still think that they have the ability to get to a Final Four and win a national title. I'm never going to bet against a team that has Cassius Winston.
Right.
And I'm never going to bet against Tom and Izzo in March. I certainly don't think that they are anywhere near a favorite at this point. But if you're telling me that they go out and they make it to Atlanta and they win a national title, I for one will not be all that surprised by it.
Baylor is legit. They have that one weird loss, you know, basically the first game of the season against Washington. They very well could be undefeated right now. Can they win a title? Like, do you think they have what they – are they built? Do they have what it takes to, you know, cut down the nets in March?
Yeah, I certainly think that they can win a title. They're just – they're so good defensively, and they're just a machine on the offensive end of the floor. Like, so on Saturday, right, they play West Virginia. It's the biggest game of the day. West Virginia is a top 15 team. They're playing without Macy Oteague, who is their second leading scorer, one of their best perimeter shooters, and just like a key cog for them defensively. And they don't even miss a beat, man. They were up by, I think, 25 early in the second half, and they ended up winning by 11 or something like that. But they just rolled through a top 15 team without one of their top two players. And when you can do that, when you are a machine like that, when you can defend the way that they can defend, I certainly think that you can go out and win. And now you can – the knock on them is that they don't have the same level of NBA talent that, that some of the past national title winners have had. But the difference is that this year nobody has that talent, right? There's no one – if you look up and down all of the national title contenders, there's nobody there that has – it's just a juggernaut. Like, say, 2018 Villanova, they had they have four guys on that team that are now NBA starters, and that doesn't include Omari Spellman, who's bouncing around somewhere. If you look at the 2019 Virginia team, they had DeAndre Hunter, number four pick, Ty Jerome, first-round pick. Kyle Guy is now playing with the Kings. So they had three pros on that team. There's nobody – at the top of this sport that is loaded with pros like that. There's no juggernaut. There's no Zion, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish that you're going to run into at any point. So I'm not worried about a team not having NBA talent when it comes to winning a national title, because nobody does, you know. And when you can defend the way that Baylor can defend, and you have that kind of next man up ethos where losing your second leading scorer it doesn't stop you from blowing out a top 15 team, that's scary. They're legit. I think they can win.
What's the best – John Beilein, so he comes back and this all becomes official and he's no longer in the NBA and he come on back to college because he realizes he had such a good thing there, can't go back to Michigan. Where's the best spot for him, Rob?
You know, if I'm the Chris Belconte at Texas, I mean, that's the guy that I'm going after to replace Shaka Smart, because I think If you look at the way that those athletic departments are built, like, how different is Texas really from Michigan, right? It's a football school where everybody cares about football first and foremost. Mm-hmm. They have all the money in the world. You can go out there and win. You don't have to be like the face in the school or anything like that. Like, John Beilein is not a guy that needs to be the star. Like, he's not
right.
Like Bruce Pearl or John Calipari that kind of needs to be the face of the university, needs to get the attention, whatever. So John Beilein can kind of blend in there. And Texas is a place where he will be able to go out and have plenty of talent. Like, you're never going to lack for recruits when you're coaching at the University of Texas. You're the flagship program of one of the most talent-rich states in the country. So he's going to get his players. He's going to play the way that he wants to play. My big thing with him is he's, what, 68 years old now, 67, 68? Mm-hmm. You're not hiring him for the next two decades. You're probably hiring him for, what, 5, 6, 7 years or something like that. So that's the one thing that you have to be aware of.
Why didn't it work with Shaka? And I'm with you that I think it looks like it's over with. Why didn't it work with Shaka Smart at Texas? We all thought it would.
So the big thing is just they hired him to coach in a way that he didn't succeed with at BCU. And what I mean by that is I don't think Havoc can work at the Big 12 level, especially not at the University of Texas, where you are trying to recruit against the likes of Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke and Memphis. Like, if you look at the list of the guys that Texas is going after, those are the other schools on the list. They are getting one-and-done guys that are looking to be developed and sent off to the NBA in a year or two, right? And Havoc does not work for those guys because Havoc is not a way to develop you to play at the next level.
Sense.
Now, if he goes to, like, an SMU where you can kind of get that next-level player that will buy into the culture and buy into the system and will be there for 4 or 5 years where – you know, you become the best friends with the other guys in your recruiting class. That's the kind of thing where I think it worked for Shaka.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was the biggest issue. He's being hired to coach a way that is not his forte.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, a couple other guys I want to get your opinion on while we're on the subject of coaching changes here, Rob. Damon Stoudamire at Pacific. That's a man. Like, I don't know if most people are familiar with the circumstances under which he took that job, but they had, like, scholarship restrictions, academic stuff. Like, it's already hard because it's specific, but then it's like, then you have, like, scholarship situations and all things like that. And I believe he's second or third in that conference right now. Do you think his name is going to be a hot one come this particular coaching carousel?
I think that his name is going to get mentioned. I don't know if it'll be a hot one in this carousel because I feel like he's a guy that Pac-12 schools will want to target, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover in the Pac-12 this year, right? Like, Washington State opened last year, and Cal just changed over, and you know, I don't know if Stanford is going to end up opening this year. I think Jared Haas is going to be able to get them to the tournament, and I don't know where the opening is going to be, right? UCLA just got filled. If Sean Miller has not been fired yet, I don't know if he's actually going to be fired at the University of Arizona. So I do think that Damon Stoudamire is a guy, like, people in coaching circles are talking about how well he's doing at Pacific. Like, he's really good there. And it's not easy to win in the WCC. Before Kyle Smith How about this for a crazy stat? Before Kyle Smith left Washington State to, left San Francisco to go take Washington State, the last person to leave a WCC head coaching job without getting fired or taking a lesser job was Jan Van Bredekolf, and I believe it was 2002. He left the year after Dan Munson left Gonzaga for Minnesota. Jan Van Bredekolf was at Pepperdine and took St. Bonaventure. It was 18 years. That's how long it took for a guy to leave a program in the WCC and get another better head coaching gig. And the reason for that is when you have Mark Few and you have Randy Bennett in your conference, you're not winning your league. Like, you're just not going to do it. So you can spend 10 years coaching in the WCC, but at some point it does kind of become a place where head coaching careers go to die.
And then what about my man Steve Forbes, who has East Tennessee State as, I believe, the last four in some brackets right now as an at-large, which speaks to the damn job that he is doing there. That's unheard of for a team like East Tennessee. All he does there is win, and he doesn't obviously do it with flashy four or five-star players, but you look up, and each and every year the guy's got 25 wins where he's hovering around that mark. Is this the year that he parlays that into a bigger gig?
First and foremost, he should have been hired already. Like, he should be in the high major ranks by now.
Yep.
Forbes is the best. But I'll tell you this. So we did a hot seat segment on the College Hoop Insider Show with Jeff Goodman, and Goodman hired Steve Forbes as the Clemson AD, as the Wake Forest AD, and as the DePaul AD. So right now, Steve Forbes is the most overworked man in America. Not only is he coaching East Tennessee State, but he's got to get ready to coach Clemson, Wake Forest, and DePaul. So he's got a lot of jobs right now. I don't know if he can afford getting another one.
Rob, man, you are the best. It was nice to see you. You surely are the talent on that show with Jeff Goodman. He knows that. Everybody involved knows that. That's why they brought you on. We appreciate the time,
Thanks, Rob, man.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Yep. He is Rob Doster. Follow him on Twitter, at Rob Doster. I agree with him 100% on Steve Forbes. I mean, I've always thought he should be, when the job opened. Even going back to when the job opened here at Memphis when Josh left, I thought Steve Forbes would have been a really good hire because even then he was just winning at East Tennessee State and he understands the job. But if I was in the SEC, Jason, and I got an opening, like, he's one of my first calls. I know he's not sexy. I know he doesn't have that sort of name brand power, but I promise you, to me, he's like he's the bald Chris Beard. Like, that's how I look at him. Like, that's kind of who he is to me. He's going to get, these dogs, right? He's going to hit the JUCO ranks. He's going to get the, under the radar dudes, but they're going to play hard for him and they're going to just beat you. They're going to beat you up. So I think this is the year where he's going to have to parlay it into a bigger gig, man.
I think he's going to get a gig, whether it's this year or whether it's the year after that. Eventually, it's going to get to Steve Forbes because of the reputation. The job's going to get to him. I hope for Damon this becomes the year. You talked about Damon and Pacific. They're fourth in the West Coast Conference. They're 20-9, though, 8-5 in the league. And to Rob's point, when you got St. Mary's and you got Gonzaga in there, you're really never going to be first or second. So if you don't go in and parlay a 20-win season at Pacific into something, right, it's not going to get much better than that in that league. And so I'm hoping for Damon Stoudemire, somebody recognizes it. And to that point, probably won't be a Pac-12 job. Like Doster said, that opportunity may not be there. Those openings may not be there. But he needs to get out of there because, like I said, it can only get worse. Winning 20 is about as good as you can do at Pacific.
Yeah.
Maybe once every 10 years you make a tournament, at a place like that, and especially in a league like that. So I'm hoping Damon – Forbes going to get his. I'm hoping Damon can get his. People recognize the job he's doing up there in a very tough spot.
It's like at some point.
This is fourth season.
Yeah,
and you're up to 20 wins now.
Yep.
You've gotten, and again, how much higher than fourth are you going to get in that league?
Yeah.
That's got St. Mary's Gonzaga. I'm trying to think the other team they're behind in that league. I can't think of it off the top of my head. BYU. BYU is ranked 23rd and second in the league. St. Mary's is third this year. Like, it's just so rare when you're going to break into those top three.
Yeah.
20 wins at Pacific is enough for me to say Damon Stoudemire can get the job done. If he can win there, he can
no
win
doubt.
There.
It's kind of like, when you can only take so many copious notes in Imperial. At some point, you've got to get up out of there. You can't be there forever,
mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like what you did. You're like, I can't be here forever. I gotta pursue something else. I've done my due diligence here. I've given everything I got to this company.
Right.
And it's just, sometimes you just have to, they're greener pastures.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you there?
Probably less than a year.
Yeah, man. I mean, you realize very early. You know, it's good for you, man. I mean, you
but
really
you have zeroed in on that time and how important it was for my career.
I think you've been shaped by it in many ways. You know, the way you prepare today, I think the were the things that you picked up at Imperial.
Yeah.
You know,
probably.
What were you guarding?
Electronic warehouse.
So like
well,
I mean,
Aero.
It was an important job. It was an you know
many thousands and millions of dollars worth
billions
worth of equipment
billions.
In that warehouse. I had my eye on.
You were, Jason. You were guarding billions of electronics, man. So that again, I think that has shaped you into the man and the entertainer
no
that you are today. All right, we will come back, wrap it up here on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, it's Brad Carson from 92.9 FM, ESPN, and it's time for the 24th annual Bunny Run 5K on Saturday, April 11th at Cancer Survivors Park over on Perkins Extended, and the race will be at 9 o'clock. Walkers start immediately after. A great family event, including an egg hunt, parade, children's games, face painting, and a special visit from the Easter Bunny. I'll be the MC, and it's a great cause, helping empower families and family-centered services with serves right here in Memphis. So join us. Sign up now at srvs.org or go to the events section now at 92.9espn.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-okay.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Way Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, right up to the party, right up to the party, hi.
Landers Auto Sales, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, that's where you need to go. They got them all out there on the lot, price starting at just $29.90. They got large SUVs, small SUVs, compact cars, luxury cars, trucks, vans, sedans, whatever it is you need, they got you out there on the lot. Price, like I said, starting at just $29.90. One of the widest selections in the Mid-South. One of the best teams in the Mid-South. They're going to get you taken care of down there at Landers. So go see them. They're located in South Haven on Goodman Road, or you can find them on the web, LandersMemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. All right, so a couple things. We were talking earlier today about the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame, and we did have a couple of new inductions that we wanted to go ahead and get out of the way. Congratulations to Mike Ferrari. He was here in Memphis, I believe he was with Fox from 1996 to 2000. He was here.
I've forgotten about him.
Yeah, he was at Fox, and then he left for Seattle, if you remember correctly. So Mike Ferrari, congratulations, my friend. You are absolutely into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame.
Wasn't there an Ari, since you're just putting in anybody?
Yes,
that's
Ari.
Ever
that
worked?
Was the yes, Ari. You yeah, are in, brother.
There was an and, Ari.
Yes.
Him?
And then I want to welcome a brand new hire to Memphis, Cassie Carlson. She is here from she's now at WMC Action News 5. She's coming here from Lubbock. We're gonna go ahead and induct her into the Memphis Sports Hall. She hasn't done a single broadcast.
Proud University of Illinois graduate.
Wow, somebody's done their homework, Brad. I think that's called stalking.
She followed the radio station, and she followed me on your favorite medium, Twitter.
That is my favorite medium.
And then I said, "Welcome to town. You'll love it here." And she said, "I already do." And so there you go. Positive energy already flowing out to a new Memphian.
Yes, indeed. We're gonna give her the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah,
too.
Amanda Hansen was a part-time video editor and sports multimedia journalist at WREG.
I don't remember her.
And
she's still there?
No, she's now in Jonesboro, but she is now in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. Oh. So again, we wanted to congratulate her on some of the things that she has done as the part-time
Everybody
video
editor. Everybody can't make it, John.
Everybody is going to make it. I hate to say it. Everybody is going to make
it. We're all welcome here.
It's a very inclusive Hall of Fame. So anyway, there you go. Let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9's Jason, John, and Carson are checking out tonight.
Tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN, you have got
John Calipari in Kentucky, number 10 team in the country. They're actually on a roll. Some of y'all may not want to hear this, but four straight, nine of its last 10, they're playing at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. That's a better LSU team than its non-ranking would indicate. Sitting at 9-3 in the SEC is a good game. LSU, a 2.5-point favorite over number 10-ranked Kentucky team tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN.
So Jeff Bezos is fascinating to me. He donated $10 billion yesterday. This became public.
He's the Yahoo man, right?
Yeah, actually Amazon. Yeah, the man behind Amazon. No, he's one of these tech guys that's just like created this monster in Amazon. You know, everybody goes there first almost for your shopping. Like, if I need something, I search out it on Amazon and it shows up at your front door. But I think it's like 7% of his wealth he's donating to the environment. But that was the story on him yesterday. Today, they're having one of those PBS, it's like called Frontline. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. It's a pretty good show. They have the Amazon Empire, the rise and reign of Jeff Bezos. He's fascinating to me, so I'm going to watch that at 8 o'clock.
That sounds interesting.
Didn't his wife get a ton of the money?
Oh, his ex-wife did. And that might be because of the girlfriend. I don't know. But,
yeah, that 100% was.
$150 million.
Yeah, that
it cost him.
But actually, that's a bargain if you think about his wealth. Hell, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's it? That's all she got? Yeah. I thought she was going to get a hell of a lot more than that.
Environment just got more than she did. I mean,
that's true. I mean, the environment's got 10. How much?
Yeah, 10 billion. It's 10 bill.
10 billion.
10 with a B.
10 billion.
Billion? Yeah.
Dog, you got too much money.
I mean, he's got that kind of money.
Nobody on this planet needs $10 billion. I mean, the planet needs $10 billion.
Let me confirm to just make sure, but it's, yeah, 10. Here it is. NPR. Jeff Bezos pledges $10 billion with a B to fight climate change. Billion.
I'm going to look up his net worth is what I'm going to check out.
It's tonight. over 100.
So this guy is donating $10 billion, and he's still going to have $119 billion left.
Now, there is a report that was just issued this afternoon that says that $10 billion isn't enough to undo Amazon's environmental damage. So I don't want to start fights here amongst environmentalists.
Yeah, you're getting controversial here on the show.
I am not here for that, but that's the report from CCN.com. I just see that.
Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world.
Yes, he's right there, if not.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. He is the richest man in the world, and he has given $10 million. I mean,
I'm always interested in these kind of people. You know, I've read a lot about Bill Gates. I kind of follow Bill Gates' book list. And these people fascinate me because, you know, you're living for something different at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm gonna sit around and wonder what I could have done differently with my life and why I don't have $10 billion.
You didn't create Amazon. That'll do it.
I mean, even if you would have just invested in Amazon, still, you wouldn't have $10 billion, but you probably have like $5 million.
Yeah.
Depending on how many shares you had. So,
sure.
I'll be checking out net worths around the country, and especially Jeff Bezos. So $10 billion to the climate. Good for you, Jeff. Good for you. That's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by the Wing Guru. Stop by if you are hungry. Thanks to our guests who joined us on the show today. Well, I guess there was there were two. We had two. Evan Daniels and Rob Doster. Giannotto and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John, and we're gone.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Gary Parrish Show.
What you hope is that Justice Winslow, later this season and next season, he's in a lineup with with John Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, Jonas Valanciunas. And if he is and he's living up to his potential and he's healthy, then you have a team option on him for the 2021-22 season. So there's really no long-term risk here. And either way, like I said, the Deion Waiters, Gorgui Dieng money comes off the books after next season, at which point you can be a player in free agency, try to add another good piece to what could be, at that point, the strongest young core in the NBA.
Weekdays 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Mercedes-Benz of Memphis has been here 38 years. It's family-owned and the place you need to visit if you want to drive the best vehicle you've ever driven. I, Gary Parrish, can say that truthfully because I own a Mercedes, best vehicle I've ever driven. 5389 Poplar is the address. It's Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, our city's original Mercedes dealership.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, welcoming you to exceptional service. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852 to get your best prices of the year now that the holidays are behind us.
Somewhere out there, there's a man on a park bench eating his 500th PB&J. He has no idea Papa John's has new papadillas that are way better than a boring sandwich. With Papa John's best meats, cheeses, and veggies hand-folded into a crispy flatbread crust. Someone better tell that man. Get a new papadilla in one of four flavors for just $6. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees, and taxes. Extra prices may vary.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.